It's time for your KDNK local newscast for this Monday morning, October 3rd. I'm Steve Cole, live in our Carbondale studios with news director Gavin Dahl. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. Tonight from 5 to 7, Carbondale's Climate Action Plan will get workshopped in the Callaway Room at the 3rd Street Center. CLEAR will lead the discussion on Carbondale's energy picture, including a look at energy use in 2009 versus 2014 and reduced carbon emissions. Garfield County commissioners have some big budget decisions to make this month, given the $17 million decrease in property taxes from oil and gas projected for 2017. The public will get to see the proposed budget for next year once county commissioners review it during a work session tomorrow. According to Ryan Hoffman at the Post-Independent, every department and every elected official in the county has proposed a budget equal to or less than last year's, with the exception of the sheriff. The library district's interim director, Sandy Kister, told the paper last week, quote, "We've already pared down as much from the budget as we can without impacting staffing, benefits, and library hours. Those are now on the table. Reducing hours, cutting staff, or closing on certain days when libraries are currently open are all being considered. There's also a possibility the libraries may close for an entire week sometime during the year to save money. The budget projections have made it harder to hire a new executive director." John Stroud from the Post-Independent reports the library has made three different job offers during their ongoing search. All three candidates ultimately turned down the job, which pays around $100,000 a year. More on GARCO's budget tomorrow. Colorado's General Assembly is made up of 65 House members and 35 senators. Each state senator represents approximately 123,000 people for a term of 4 years. Carbondale and all of Garfield County are in Senate District 8, represented by State Senator Randy Baumgardner, a Republican. He's running for re-election, but has apparently ignored KDNK's request for an interview. Today, you'll hear from his opponent, Democrat Emily Tracy. Since very few people have the district maps memorized, could you start by mentioning some of the communities included in the district? And you've been in rural Colorado since the 1970s. What's your personal connection to our region?
Right. Well, thanks. I'm really happy to be here, Gavin. So thanks for providing this time for me to talk with you. Senate District 8, as of reapportionment in 2011, is seven full counties in northwest Colorado. Garfield County and all the communities in Garfield County are the largest county in the district. It's twice as large as Summit, which is the second largest where I live. And then Route, Grand, Rio Blanco, Moffitt, Jackson counties make up the rest of the district. I tell people it runs from Breckenridge north to Wyoming and west to Utah. It skips over Eagle County, but covers a very large block in northwest Colorado. And I have lived in rural Colorado since 1977, been involved in politics really since that time, both as a citizen and advocate on environmental issues. Also ran for the city council in Canyon City when I lived there, and served for 2 4-year terms on the city council in the 80s, early 90s, and so have just always been connected to rural issues in Colorado.
So tell us a bit more about yourself. You've got quite a packed resume.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm old enough to say that it would take too long to go over everything, but I will say that my longest career was in child protection, child welfare, foster care, adoption. Worked at both the county level and state level in that, but I've also worked for the court system, for a police department. I've worked for several nonprofits, worked for a chamber of commerce in Summit County for a couple of years, served as legislative affairs coordinator of a local council in Summit County on legislative affairs through the Summit Chamber, did that for 5 years, bringing speakers in on that. Done a lot of things work-wise that relate to public policy, and then also just as a citizen. And I have a master's degree in public administration with an emphasis in environmental management. So that's kept me connected to environmental issues for decades.
So why do you want to be in the Colorado General Assembly?
Oh, you know, it's been a long-term goal of mine, although I think I look at it more realistically now than maybe I did 10, 15, 20 years ago. But I've always felt like I could make a change there. And now that I've lived in rural Colorado since the late 70s, I've really seen how important it is for rural Colorado and specifically Western Slope counties to have a stronger voice in the legislature. We're never going to have the population that the Front Range has, so we don't have the political power that they have. So we know in rural Colorado and here on the Western Slope, to protect our water and our clean air and so forth, we have to have strong voices there in the legislature who are able to work across the partisan aisle and get things done for our folks.
health coverage is expensive now, and at the end of the year, we'll have even fewer options with costs continuing to go up. What would you do if you were in the state Senate next year to address this?
Well, first, we'll see what happens with Amendment 69 on the ballot. I've heard things both ways on that. I think there's a lot of support for that because people are so concerned about those high costs, and particularly the northwest part of Colorado has the highest health insurance costs in the nation, is what I've heard. And so we hear a lot about that talking to voters. So first, we'll look and see, did that amendment pass or not? If it passes, then it's going to be a lot of work over a period of years to implement it. If it doesn't pass, then I think we have to get to work right away and figure out what we can do at the state level. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what the solution is. And maybe we'll end up with some kind of a dual system of health care in the state so that we have more community access to health care, more low cost or affordable access to health care. We have to do something, particularly in rural Colorado. I hear not only about the high rates for health insurance, but also about lack of access in some of the smaller towns. So we've got to get to work on that day one and solve some of those issues.
Talk about your position on climate change. What do you think about local control related to fracking and clean water, for example?
Oh, wow. You ask big questions. Climate change. I teach a class in Colorado at Colorado Mountain College in Breckenridge in their sustainability program, and it's on leadership, ethics, and social responsibility. And one of the areas we cover is climate change. I also have a week that we talk about fracking issues. You know, I'm very science oriented. I think we have some wonderful science that's been done and continues to be done showing that we are in the middle of a relatively rapid change in our climate, and we really need to address those chief human sources of problems that are leading to that. So we really have to take a close look at what we can do differently, and I think we're making progress in Colorado, need to do much more. The fracking issue is a difficult one. You know, this is a very diverse district that I'm running in, so people are very concerned about losing fossil fuels jobs in the district. But at the same time, I've met with and talked with people who live in Battlement Mesa, for example, who are seeing gas drilling up close in their rural residential area, their planned unit development. And so we have to work to find better balance between residential use of land and energy development and create a better level playing field and make sure that we don't create winners and losers in the process.
Do you support the privatization of public lands?
Not at all. I read recently that Senate District 8, this 7-county district, has more public lands acreage than any other state Senate district in the state. And so it's a huge concern. People recognize, I think for the most part in this district, that those public lands are a source of our tourism industry in this part of the state. It provides access to not only tourists, but local residents for all kinds of outdoor recreation and fishing and hunting. We certainly always need to look at how we do a better job at federally and at the state level to preserve and protect those public lands and to manage them for multiple uses. But I would not want to see those lands turned over to states or to private interests.
That was Democratic Colorado State Senate candidate Emily Tracy. She's challenging incumbent Republican Senator Randy Baumgartner, who has ignored KDNK's request for an interview. If he responds to our request, we will try to ask him these same questions. Tune in tomorrow for part two of my interview with Emily Tracy. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
While Colorado is one of the only states in the country to allow voter registration all the way up to Election Day, the state's top election official is urging people to register to vote now. And make sure your registration is up to date before ballots are mailed on October 17th. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Colorado already has the highest percentage of eligible voters who are registered in the country, according to Republican Secretary of State Wayne Williams. He says it's partly because the state has a tendency to have some close races.
Your vote may make the difference, so I think that helps. We have a very educated populace.
His office has also tried to make it easier for people to register to vote, both online and using a smartphone. He says there's typically an uptick in presidential election years. There's also a full slate of statewide ballot questions going before voters. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Thank you, Benta. Mark your calendar. The 8th Street Bridge in Glenwood Springs will be closed to vehicle traffic from this Saturday, October 8th, to Tuesday, October 18th. The bridge closure will have a significant impact on school traffic. School buses cross the bridge 24 times a day. Parents and school district staff cross it hundreds of times each day. In the morning, students will be transferred from bus to bus at the Glenwood Springs High School. For busloads of middle school students who live in South Glenwood, Sopris Elementary will be a transfer station in the afternoons. For more information, contact the Roaring Fork School District.